Turn with me this morning to the 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. I guess I come back here this morning, had a little incident in our community last Sunday at the little church there, and the preacher got in a lot of hot water. It was all over the 13th and 14th chapter, though. They were going to have a business meeting, and before that, the preacher told them he didn't want none of the women to have nothing to do with it. They would be silent in the church. Yeah, boy. It's been just rumbling around the community. One of them come asked me what I thought about it, and I said, well, he took one verse and tried to make up the whole 13th, 14th chapter out of that one verse, but it was all about, it was just everything be done not decently and not in order. Everybody's trying to talk, and everybody has a psalm and a hymn, and it's just getting out of hand, and I think about some of the charismatic stuff that has gone on in our day when everybody is trying to speak in some kind of tongue, not just an unknown tongue, but one that was sure enough unknown. Nobody knew it. And all the women got all emotional, and it still goes on somewhat. I think it's let up a little in our day. But anyway, that's what that's all about. Women are not to usurp authority over the men, but it's not that they can't have anything in the world to say. And it's not that they, especially come to carnal things, they up the little church up there got about five widow women in it that are tithing somewhat to it. And they ought not have anything to say about the carnal things either. No. Anyhow, that's another story. But anyway, in looking back at that, I come to the 15th chapter. And I find several parallels here that is similar to our day. This is all about the resurrection. And believe me, there's all kind of theories and ideas and mysticisms and everything else, even in our day. They can't really make up their mind which way they want to go. And they all want to teach that these things, there won't be any resurrection until the final resurrection. And I look at that and I wonder about those things. But we'll begin here. Moreover, since all these things, since y'all have gone out of the way, since y'all have not followed my preaching, my teaching, you have gone out of the way. And that one more thing I'm going to bring up to you in this letter. He said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand. He said, by which also you're saved, if. There's that if in there. And evidently there was some that this if fit. He said, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain, or have become double-minded. I'm quite sure what he's fixing to teach here is going to take some of them salvation away from them. That's what happens today. If you preach the gospel and you got people that don't know, that are not born again, that are not made whole in the Spirit, then they're going to go astray the same way. And if you teach these things,
the gospel.
Then it's going to take away some of them's salvation. And they're going to become mad. He said, for I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. This was predicted from the very beginning. Here's one that's going to come and lay down his life, the perfect sacrifice. Offer it up on the altar of God and pay the sin debt, not of all men now, don't get that wrong, of his people. Nowadays, the teaching is this, he died for all men. All you got to do then is just pick it up. We live in a day also when they think they're great soul winners. You go out and convince a man about this resurrection. I'm talking about the resurrection of Christ. They think they can go out and just teach a man into a belief. Well, it's just as foreign as these things were here. A man will not be born again from another man's convincing him. Isn't any such a thing as a soul winner outside of the preaching of the gospel. That's the soul winner is the gospel. The one that Paul says he had delivered to them here about the resurrection of Christ. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, or the first day of the week, today, rose again the third day according to the Scripture. Again, this is the gospel according to the Scriptures. According to this. All this other stuff is just garbage. That he was buried. I'm also thinking up on this when he was buried. Death. Even to the pits of hell. And suffered everything that God could put upon him. But he couldn't be holding of death. That's our hope. In the resurrection, he couldn't be holding. He was resurrected. But here's the thing. There must be some other resurrection in man himself to see this resurrection. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12, and after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. And not all here now. It may be some have fell asleep because of unbelief also. I don't know what he's trying to interject here exactly, but it could be. Your fallacies have led you to be double-minded, and some are asleep. After that, he was seen of James, and of the apostles, and also of all. He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Well, Apostle Paul, he wasn't chosen with the rest of them at the same time. But on the road to Damascus, he saw a great light. He had been persecuting the church, but he saw a great light, and he was born suddenly. Born again. Had a resurrection unto newness of life. He now understood these things. He was born out of due season, not with the rest of them, but now. Suddenly, he's seen that resurrection of the Lord. Thinking about this death that the Lord died, there was a great work done in that death, the sacrifice. But it wasn't enough. There must be a resurrection unto life. Death was important. Death is important to man. We nowadays, we want to put it the furthest thing away from us. But unless the seed die, then be resurrected, then it's all in vain. He said, "For I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God." Now, here's a good but, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I don't hear that a whole lot anymore. But man can be nothing outside the grace of God, either spiritual or carnal. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Now you take in that bestowed upon. There wasn't any getting of it. It was bestowed upon him when that light shone on him. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God. It wasn't him, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preach, and so you believe. And where does this believing come from? But the preaching of the gospel. Which it, if it is anything in a nutshell, it's this, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? This is a known time we see this. If some said the resurrection's already passed. Over in the 2 Timothy, they said that the resurrection is already passed. So we still got all kind of mixture of things besides what is of the gospel. And that's what we have nowadays is a mixture of man's thoughts, his intelligence outside of the gospel that would bring about all these mysteries. Paul later going to tell them about the mystery, all right. But it has brought many false things even into our day. This same thinking. I've already said that it's a belief now that man can just go out and convince a man that he would accept Jesus, and then at some point in his life, I guess they call that sanctification, I don't know, he would let the Lord be Lord. Well, that's just dead men talking. He said, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? That'd be an awful state of affairs, wouldn't it? No resurrection. No life. No newness of life. No revival. They couldn't even say that they had any right revival here in themselves. Outside of this, it is totally in vain. Why do you teach such things? And I find the same thing nowadays under this teaching of accepting Jesus as your Savior, it locks them in to being twofold more the child of the devil than ever before, because they put their trust in what they have done. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. It's not worth anything. All your works in that idea of there not being a resurrection is absolutely vain, and it's of the devil. They've let these things slip into the church, you might say unaware. The Apostle Paul trying to make them aware here. They've forgotten what he preached. They've turned back to old things. Your faith is also vain, yea. And we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. They have made God a liar. And that's what is going on today. They have made God a liar. They are saying he said. And that's what Paul's saying here. You're saying that he said. What we've delivered to you is what we've got from God. And now you're saying that he said this? He said, for if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. Then if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. You're yet in your sins. I bet he stirred some stuff up here, didn't he? He said, then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. We have a great problem nowadays, seem like, with, well, is man going to be somehow dead and dormant until the coming of Christ? Well, I don't think so. If a man be resurrected to newness of life, I'm not talking about the final resurrection now of the body. I'm talking about the resurrection of the spirit. If it be raised up and it lives, is it going to die again and lay around and be dormant? And who is God going to bring with him? Lord Jesus Christ when he comes back. But those that are resurrected, those that are alive, that are made alive, is a soul after life going to die? No, it's made alive. And it lives. Oh, it's going to be made a new body, that it might dwell in that body, and it'll be complete and whole. But the soul of man, that may have been some of the argument here in this church, is about the soul when they were thinking about the resurrection. When I read this whole thing and I study it, and I've kind of toiled over it all week. I don't know if you ever do that or not, to get hung up somewhere. But all that's hogwash. If a man is born, what did I say? Born again unto life eternal. What does eternal mean to you? It's eternal. It's born again. It lives. But now is Christ risen from the dead. This is a fact, and you have, every one of you here have seen him. Some of them not here anymore, they're dead, but what's here, you've seen him, you've witnessed to this. How much plainer can it be? It was so plain that everybody actually knew it. But you have let somebody lead you down this path of destruction. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits. He's the first one. There are going to be many after him. First fruits of them that slept. For sin by man came death. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. Said, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all, and we get rid of that all there. That's not a good all. All who? That's the question. All be made alive. So in Christ, they'll all be made alive. And heavens are opened. The heavens are open, the veil's rent, and the heavens are open. And the call is unto his people, unto newness of life, unto the resurrection. Still, they won't hang this on the second coming of Christ. Do we not now? If we know God, do we not now sit in heavenly places? Do we not now reign with him? Christ, the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power, for he must reign. So we must reign also. But he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. It's going to reign until the last thing over the world. Paul mentioned this the other day, and there's no discharge in this world, even unto the death of the body of the saints. But that soul is not going into that grave, because Christ has been even into hell and bought it and preserved it, sanctified it, if you will. He continues to teach it. That's what sanctification is. It's a continuance of the grace of God upon man. Another thing I thought about here, about this point, we got what we call the Great Commission. Go ye therefore into all the world. But here is the Great Commission. God the Father hath commanded the Son that he come and lay down his life, and he was obedient to all things. And come and lay down his life. This was the Great Commission, if there be one. And he's going to give him authority. over everything, the fowls, the animals, the people, the governments, you name it, be subject unto the powers that be, for they are elected of God. And he is ruling over those things. How do you think that they are elected of God? Because the power belongs unto him. And the power was in the life of the resurrection. Raised unto that power. Because the grave couldn't hold him. Could not. The grips of hell couldn't hold him. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepting, which did put all things under him. God the Father had put these things there. And Jesus Christ has carried out the Great Commission. And then he's going to deliver all things back unto the Father. But is it ministry going to be diminished? No, it's going to be increased. Right now, they talk a lot about the day of Pentecost and the church beginning there, and that's all a lie too. But they talk about the Comforter coming. You know what all that means is? That there is more power being exhorted upon the salvation of his people more today than it was in the days of old. Now we got the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost operating in one, in unison. When Christ was upon earth, he walked and taught, and his teaching was limited to those that he saw. But the teaching today doesn't have that same limitation because it's taught of the Spirit as the wind willeth it blow it. So now, we're taking a people out of every nation, kindred, and tongue in the world. And when all these things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. Isn't this a twist in the hymns here? That God may be all in all. It was all of a merciful God that brought all these things to pass. It's as it was written. He set it forth, laid it down. This is the way that it's going to be. And no man cometh unto the Father except by the Son. In any other way. Can't come. But you can come if you've been resurrected or the light has come on as it did Paul. If the light comes on, if you've been resurrected under the newness of life, then you call upon the Lord who will save his people.
Hard for people to understand how you can not die, never die, and yet die, and yet die, and yet live forever. How do you do that? Oh, is that it? Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. How about that? I don't know too much about it. I've heard it all my life, and I never really thought enough about it to even look into it. But there's a lot of people that believe in something called soul sleep. And best I know of that, it means that when a person dies and goes in the grave, he's just there, nothing, knows nothing. He's just there until the resurrection. But the Bible doesn't teach anything like that. Never has. Christ come back, but that's not what he says here, is it? He that believeth in me shall never die. That's pretty clear, isn't it? But the resurrection, there is no salvation without the resurrection. It's he that believeth in his heart that God hath raised him, Jesus, from the dead that is saved, according to Romans chapter 10. So, you skip that one verse. I don't know whether you did it intentionally or not, but where Paul says that Christ be not risen from the dead, and we of all men are most miserable. We're going through all this for nothing. But you and we know better than that, don't we? Because the Almighty God, in the power of the Holy Ghost, has convinced us. He has shown us. He has revealed unto us that Christ indeed did arise from the dead, and he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he's coming back. That is our glory, isn't it? That he is coming back to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. I guess if there was such a thing as soul sleep, I guess that didn't apply to those two prophets that Jesus saw on the Mount of Transfiguration, did it? So, anyway, we believe that our Lord was raised from the dead. We believe it because it was not possible that he should be holden of it, because he was righteous.